grace for greatness. And that is what I'll be talking about this evening. But first of all, I want us to do a little exercise. And I solicit your cooperation. Simple exercise. I'm going to ask some questions, some short questions, easy questions. And it will require your raising of your hand if it applies to you or if the answer is yes or whatever. So like I said, encourage me, support me. Just raise up your hand and drop it. I promise, and I sincerely promise, certainly, nobody will be called out for any question or for the analysis. So relax. Simple questions. The first question I want to ask, if you had dinner last night, can I have your hand up? If you had dinner. Thank you. Good. If you didn't have dinner, can you raise up your hand? Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that support. So that's like saying maybe like 70% had dinner, 20% had, 10% didn't have, and 20% still refused to cooperate with me. It is well. I'll be okay. Now, I want to ask another few questions here. From your understanding of grace and favor, God choosing Noah to build the ark and to get his family out of that flood, I want to know if it's by grace or favor. If it's grace, can I see your hand up? Okay. If it's by favor, okay. So I would say 30%, and 40% still refuse to raise up their hands. Good. Now, God making it possible for Esther, a Hebrew immigrant, of no significant background, making her a queen. If you say it's grace, okay. If you say it's favor, okay. The last one, so that's like I would say 40% said favor and 10% grace. Now, for God making Joseph get up to the level of prime ministership, is it by grace? Okay. Favor? Okay. So I would say 70% said favor, 30% said grace. I thank you very much for helping me in my ministry today. You know, almost every time we talk about grace and favor, I try to clarify in my mind what is the difference, just like you, what is the difference between grace and favor? Because really, even in different versions of the Bible, the words are interchanged. A version might say, maybe Noah found grace. Another version will say, Noah found favor by God. So it's like the words are interchanged. However, over the years, and most especially in the last few weeks, when ministers come up here to talk about grace, you know, they talk about favor too and all that, and it helped me a bit, just a bit, to understand, based on what I've heard, especially in recent times, that favor could be given by God based on your good deeds, or based on something you've done, based on your standing with God. You have done things deserving of God's blessings. That is what me have understood. But grace could be given when you have not done anything deserving of God's blessing. As a matter of fact, God can locate you with His grace even if you are far away from Him. When you have not deserved it, when you have not merited it, God can grant you grace. So grace is what can take you, for instance, from a nobody to somebody. How grace is given really is unexplainable. If you think about the case of Rahab the harlot, can you fathom how she can be chosen to be a vessel by which the Israelites would defeat Jericho? And apart from that, how would she become a vessel that would become part of the lineage of Jesus Christ? You can't fathom it. So grace is not by works, but by God's choice. God chooses to do this to anybody. If I ask now, if anyone wants to be great here, I won't ask you, but I'm just assuming, I'm just saying, if I ask, I want to believe that most people, if not all people, will say they want to be great. We all desire to be great. We desire to be successful. We desire to grow our enterprise into large organizations. We desire to be extraordinary in our professions. You want to be a professor. You want to be a professor emeritus too. You desire to be well known. You desire to be famous. To be distinguished. It is okay. It is okay to desire. It is good to desire greatness. But really, even when you don't consciously desire it, nor even have a vision of being great, God's grace can locate you to bring you up. God's grace can locate you to bring you up regardless of your desire. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 7, he says, I have seen servants on horses like princes walk, while princes walk on the ground like servants. That second part of it is not a pleasant thing to experience. For you to be up there and now be down, that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But the good part of this portion is that first part. A servant riding on horse. You might be low now, but you are going up. It is just the grace of God that can transform somebody from a nobody to a somebody. Thinking about Esther again, a descendant of Hebrew captives becoming queen is unfathomable. But the grace of God located her and pushed her to greatness. I pray that that grace of God will use you, will locate you with that grace and transform your situation in the name of Jesus. At times, I wonder, should a child of God desire greatness? Let's think about it. I want to challenge your mind during the minutes I'll be talking to you today. Should a child of God desire greatness? Should being great be of paramount concern to me? Should it be? I want to be great. I want to be great. God, make me great. Great for what? So that what will happen? Think about it. So that what will happen? Do you know that there's a natural tendency in greatness? You know, we are all supernatural beings, right? We are supernatural. But once in a while, that natural can grow bigger than the super. And that's what can happen when you are great. It's a natural tendency, you know. If you are supernatural, certainly you can escape it. And that is pride. Pride can naturally come in when you are great. Oh, you've arrived. So what's the big deal? If you look at the story of Nebuchadnezzar, remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar. It was after King Nebuchadnezzar had attained the high level of greatness. You know, expanded his territory, his kingdom was flourishing, that one day he got out, he walked in his palace, and he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for royal dwelling by my mighty power and the honor of my majesty?" You know, this me, myself, and I thing. He forgot to give glory to God. He arrogated his greatness, the greatness of his kingdom, to himself. That is something that can happen when you are great. It's natural. But hear what happened from Daniel 4, 31 to 32. It says, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses." God gives to whomever he chooses. That is grace. That is grace. Now, let's think again about some of the people who experienced some level of greatness in the Bible. Think about Moses. Think about David. Think about Joseph. Think about Esther. They attained some level of greatness. I believe you'll agree with me. Could they, while they were growing up, or at any particular stage in their life, before they attained that greatness, could they have desired to be great? Or to be this great? Could they have desired it? I can't say. Because we were not there in their minds. Maybe they did. They desired to be great. And maybe not. Maybe not. But I believe that it was not their desire for greatness that brought about their greatness. It's not their desire. Just that God graced them with greatness. That's just it. Whether they thought of it, whether they desired to be prime minister from that place when Joseph was in his father's house, he desired to be president or whatever. Maybe, maybe not. But what brought the greatness of these people was the grace of God. So if God gives grace to whomever he chooses, our focus should not be that of desire or vision of being great. If God chooses to give to anyone as he chooses, as he desires, our focus should not be that I want to be great, I want to be great. That is no big deal. It is no big deal. Like I said, I want to challenge your mind. It's good to think beyond what we read at times. I'll tell you what the big deal is. What's the big deal? Kini, big deal. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 10. And I'll read from verse 35 to 45. Mark 10, 35 to 45. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" Kind of a question is that. "And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory.' Is that not some kind of greatness that they are desiring? So anybody can desire greatness. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." Some things are prepared for some people. Greatness is prepared for some people. God prepares these things for some people. That is why the grace comes for different things, for different people at different times. It is for those for whom it is prepared. "And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.'" The big deal is your service. You need to serve to attain greatness. You need to serve. You need to labor. Your primary concern should be, how do I serve? What do I do? What do I do to be of service to mankind? What do I need to do to benefit others? Others have to benefit from your service if you want to be great. Let's turn to the book of Mark. Mark 1, and I'll read from verse 21 to verse 28. "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching." They were amazed at the teaching of Jesus Christ. They were touched, moved by his teaching. It says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So Jesus ministered powerfully, and his ministration made an impact in their lives. "Now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' So Jesus spoke well, right? Ministered well. The same thing. He cast out the unclean spirit well. He healed. He restored. Verse 28 is so lovely to read. It says, "And immediately His fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Jesus' service made his fame to spread immediately. I don't have any recollection of Jesus seeking greatness or fame. I don't recollect anywhere in the Bible that gave that impression. He was not seeking greatness or fame. He was just doing his job well. He was just doing his job well. And I try to imagine, as his fame was spreading, it was a case of there was no need for publicity. You can imagine if an organization wants to set up a branch somewhere else, there will be publicity. Or even, there could be like a minister coming to town, there will be publicity so that people will come. This one is like, it was not even required. People were spreading the word themselves because of the great work that Jesus was doing, and they could identify with it. So what you do and how well you do it will promote you to greatness. What you do and how well you do it will promote you. It will promote you. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man diligent in his work? He says he shall stand before kings." You can say it in a better way. He shall be great. He shall be great. Not only standing before kings, even though he might not be in his lineage to become a king, but he will be great. Somebody that is diligent in what he does. So in whatever work or service you render, render it so well. Render it so well. And always think of how you can improve so that you can render it better. And render it better, and render it better. There's this quote by Martin Luther King Jr., which I always like it, anytime I run into it. It says, "If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, 'Here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well.'" That is how we should do it. So seek to excel in whatever service you are rendering. Seek to excel. Seek to excel. If you are a teacher, for instance, make it easier for students to learn. Make it more fun for students to want to come to school. Don't just teach. I remember when I was in secondary school, I went to Loyola College. One of the people that made me to like mathematics to an extent was one teacher of ours called Father Sweeney, one Irish teacher. I remember when he started teaching us, he would teach us well, good. And then after teaching, he would tell us to do the answer the questions at the back of the chapter. He would tell you to answer the first 5 questions, and everybody will start working on it. And he would tell you that once you are through, just raise up your hand. So I remember this first time that I had this experience. So I raised up my hand, and he came, checked it, looked at it, and got everything. He just marked his bar, like, correct, and wrote a number on it, and left. So I was feeling good. Until at the end of the class, I realized that he wrote 5 on mine. I realized that there was 1, there was 2, there was 3, there was 4. So I was just the 5th person to quickly raise up my hand to finish and get correctly. So that encouraged me. I guess I was a little bit competitive to an extent. You know, I said, so there could be a 1. Out of 5 was the best. Not knowing that there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that encouraged me to study math more and to listen more. And once he tells us, test time. I mean, not test time. Just answer the questions. I'll quickly do. So a few times I got 1, but many times at least I still stay within the unit. So that encouraged me. So don't just be a teacher. Make it interesting for students to learn. If you are in business, you are in business primarily to provide a service that solves people's problems or that meets people's needs. That's your primary purpose. You make things more convenient. Make things easier. Make things faster, nicer, cleaner. The bottom line is for you to create a better life for people. That is service. 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I went downstairs in my hotel and I met a man at the restaurant. And I started to chat with him. Not an Indian this time. This is a Nigerian. And that was his first time of coming to stay with us. I think he has spent 2 nights with us already. So I decided to just come and meet him. So I chatted with him for a minute or so. And then I always ask a question when people come in and I have a rapport with them. I said, please, how did you learn about us? Oh, he said that he checked on the internet and he read reviews of hotels. He read our review and all that and he felt comfortable with it, that we were even rated better than the big hotels in Ibadan. Of course, that made me feel good. I said, thank you and all that. But the thing really is not just that rating. It's what is it that brought that fame? What is it that brought that perceived greatness? Giving attention to the things the people need. Giving attention to what your guests need. Providing the services that will make your guests happy. And that applies to whatever you do, your business. Greatness will come. Fame will come. You just do the work. About 15 years back, while I was in Zenith Bank, about 70 years ago, thereabout, Zenith Bank went public. And it was a big bang, oversubscribed and all that. So when the stock started trading on the exchange, the price started going up, up, and up, and up. And at management meetings, in head office, we would rejoice, oh, our price is going up. That shows that the bank is doing well, people perceive it well. Apart from that also, all of us that bought shares or had to buy shares, you see that the value is going up. I feel good. After a while, the price started going down. Then it will go up a little. Then it will continue to go down. It started going down. Going down to the point of an alarm. So then at one management meeting in the head office, the MD came. I said, okay, because we're always monitoring it. Everybody is monitoring it. He said, you know what? Let's leave the market to determine the price of the shares. And let us focus on what we know how to do best. Let us take care of our customers, let us delight them, let us do and all that. That once we can do that, the market's perception will change or it will enhance the market perception. And of course, the price is determined, it's dependent on the perception of the market. So you go and do your work, do it well. People will perceive the organization as strong and the price will go up. And that's exactly what we did. We changed our focus from the stock market. Let's do what we know how to do best. Do what you know how to do best. And the excellence, the greatness will follow. Matthew 18, from verse 1. Verse 1 to verse 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called the little child to him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. humble yourself. Before I go further, let's read Philippians 2. And I'll read from verse 3 to verse 9. Philippians 2, 3 to 9. Okay. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That is pride. Don't do anything out of pride or selfish ambition. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Another version of the Bible says, count others more significant than yourself. Now, that one is a tough one. Count others more significant than yourself. This is not easy for many of us because we carry ourselves better than others. We classify people. We size people up, size them down. It's not easy to count other people more significant than you. A few days ago, while preparing this message, the word pride, because this is pride, came to my mind in Yoruba language. Pride is what? Iberaga, right? So you can look at this, pride is Iberaga, pride is Iberaga. But I now started to think of Iberaga as a word in itself. Iberaga. That is a definition in itself. Iberaga means like you are carrying yourself up. Carrying yourself maybe higher than other people. But that one is even small. Iberaga. That is like you are even carrying yourself higher than who you are. Who do you think you are? Really? Who do you think you are? Carrying yourself even higher. That's called being puffed up, I guess, you know. So he said, let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Then he says in verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you. Which mind? That lowliness of mind. In verse 3. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So if Christ could have made himself lowly, we are supposed to let that mentality be in us too, on a daily basis. Lowly. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know, he made himself. Like you have to make yourself to of no reputation. You are the one that will do it. Don't let God do it for you. That will be hard. So make yourself of no reputation. Taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, giving him the name which is above every name. God exalted him because he humbled himself. God will exalt you too if you humble yourself. 1 Peter 5 to 7 as I close. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, look at the story of Joseph once in a while. Think about it several times. Even after he had interpreted the dream for the butler, and the butler left, the Bible says it took 2 full years. Full years. And I try to imagine if it was immediately after the butler left this prison and he went to meet the the king, Pharaoh, and said, this is this guy's story, this is, and they release him. I always say, release him to where? To go back to Israel, to go back to Potiphar's house, to go back on the street, where? So God exalted Joseph in that due time. So casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 10, say, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Did Joseph not suffer? He suffered. But God perfected him. God settled him. Settled for life. So let us be humble. God gives grace to the humble. And to those who are able to serve diligently and work hard, he makes grace. God will make you great. God will help you to be humble. God will help you to serve diligently. He will enable you to perform well. And great things will follow in Jesus' name.